The Call to Worship, based on Acts 2, 5 through 11. Today we will all join together to share some of the confusion and understanding of the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the story, Acts people come together from many places, speaking many different languages. We are to share in a bit of that confusion by naming different unfamiliar places. Then we will ask you to join in the familiar by naming the places from which you come and the religious tradition from which you come. This call to worship is meant to sound and feel like the confusion of hearing all the languages of the world and in amazement understanding them all. This is meant to be fun, so do your best with the unfamiliar names. They come from many places. From Mesopotamia, Asia, Egypt, Rome, Libya. We too come from many places. They come from different traditions, both Jew and Gentile. We come both our amazement and our confusion. All together, open hearts and minds to worship God. What is peace? Peace is like an ocean when it's calm. Peace is a sigh of relief knowing that there is good behind all the world's evil. Peace is what people want instead of war. Peace is that feeling when you know that everything is okay and will be with time. Peace is the sound of the birds chirping in the morning. Peace is the sun setting and the moon coming out to say, "Hello, neighbor." Peace has more than one meaning, and people interpret it in different ways. So as the sun and the moon do, saying, "Hello, neighbor," we offer you to get up, walk around with your brothers and sisters, and pass the peace, because peace is a wonderful feeling that's meant to be shared.
Brothers and sisters, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday here at the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Welcome to the young and to the old, to the shy and to the bold, and to all those looking for beauty to unfold. Welcome to the saint and to the sinner, to the loser and the winner, and to all who are searching for God, who is the universe spinner. Welcome to the straight and the gay, to those who read the Bible every day, and to those who go to godly play. Welcome to the students and the teachers, to those who get involved and those who cheer from the bleachers. Friends, welcome. Welcome to worship on Pentecost Sunday, but also on Christian Education Sunday. Welcome to a day where we celebrate our lifelong journey of growth, learning, and formation. In the midst of everything that is about to happen before your eyes, I hope that you encounter our still-speaking God and through her find whatever it is that you need to make you whole. Welcome to worship. I have a few announcements to make, and I would invite at this time, if anyone else has an announcement, to please come forward to this microphone that you might be prepared to make it. First of all, thank you to so many people who made this day happen. Thank you to all of the children who are leading worship for today. Thank you to all of the parents who shuttled them here each and every way. And thank you especially to Ann Hutchinson, and most especially to Reverend Lois Rose, who were the brains and planning and cat herding behind this entire process. Thank you all for all that you have done. For those of you who are visiting our church, I invite you to fill out one of these cards. You will find one in each and every pew and stick it in the offering plate that we might know how to get a hold of you. I want to share some sad news today. We got word from Jackie Hawkins that her mother has passed away. Jackie was there and has been there for a number of weeks and was there when her mom passed away. I believe that she is doing well, but I also know that she could use all of our prayers. So please keep her in your thoughts and prayers. I'm excited today, partly because I don't have to preach or do much, and partly because as soon as worship is over, I am on vacation. I want to let you know that I will be gone. John and I and Jake will be gone visiting family for the next couple of weeks. Don Payne will lead worship for us next week and break open the good news. He will also be providing emergency pastoral care while I am gone. His number, both his cell number and his home number, is in the blue directory, the new one, so you can find it there, or simply get in touch with Nancy and she will patch you through there.
Olga Svita asked me if I would make an announcement that we have some paintings for you to see. They're in the hallway off the Jonathan Edwards room. And they're very beautiful and part of the creativity that God has given us through his Holy Spirit is expressed in these paintings. I found out one thing by doing these, that what Jesus said, you shall be able to remove or move mountains, is possible through painting.
Friends, this is a day and a time that is made for the worship of God. So let's get to it.
This is from the 1 Corinthians verses 4 through 11. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way, and each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message of full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this as he wishes. He gives a different gift to each person.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit.
Good morning. I'm Lisa, and Jeremy and I are up here to represent the Disciples Bible Study Group. We have been meeting for the past 35 weeks for 2 hours every week to talk about the Bible. We began at the beginning and stopped at the end, and I'd like to ask everybody who made this wonderful commitment to stand right now. If you don't mind, it was a wonderful group to be part of. Thank you. So we were tasked by Brent to ask, to answer the following question. After meeting all this time and reading all of these passages, how did we grow closer to God and to each other? A wise teacher of mine likes to quote George Eliot on the tendency we humans have to go through life thickly padded. There are reasons for this. Padding brings protection, and sometimes life is tough enough to merit an extra layer or two. But there are times when we want to cut through the safe or mundane or familiar and get down to the juicy mystery of life, to things that may not be easy or pleasant, but are true. This past week, when we reflected back on why we chose to devote every Thursday morning for 2 hours to reading the Bible, sometimes slogging through the difficult passages, these were some of the reasons that came up. We wanted learning, sustenance, context, commitment, the direct word. For all of us, I think this started out as something personal, a desire to explore our one-on-one relationship with God and Spirit. But it quickly proved to be something more. To quote scripture, which I can do now because I've read it, "Where two or three have come together in my name, I am there among them." Or to quote Brent, borrowing from Aristotle, "The whole is always greater than the sum of its parts." The Bible is not an easy book, and certainly without this group, I would have not continued my study, nor would I have understood or appreciated a fraction of what I read. Each person in our group, Joyce, Joanne, Michelle, Teresa, Jared, Pat, Carrie, Jean, and Brent, brought their own experiences, questions, reactions, joys, and even doubts to the passages. And through our reactions and interactions, the words became alive and full of meaning. I think this was the point: to remove the padding not only from ourselves, but also from these ancient texts, to feel their aliveness and applicability, to get closer to God and to each other. Our Thursday mornings together, instead of being one more thing to check off in an otherwise busy life, became a kind of quiet center. We learned that God spoke and acted through many different people in many different ways, and that this is not a process that ended with Revelation, but continues to this day in and through and with us. So now, after 35 weeks, I feel a little less padded, a little more alive, and very grateful to those who joined me in this study, and for all of the people, the prophets, healers, teachers, helpers, miracle workers, and administrators, who make this church a vibrant and meaningful community. Thank you.
So my name is Jeremy Reitenauer, and the evening group has bestowed upon me the honor of trying to communicate what it was like to be in the Disciples Bible study this year. My perspective will probably be unique for three reasons. First, I just moved here in September, and I joined the church in October, so this was kind of my first introduction to the members at First Church. Second, I was a little bit younger than the other members of the group, so I might have something else to say. And third, I grew up in an evangelical church, so when I read the Bible last in a study, it was probably with a very different mindset and a very different intention. So it was a good experience for me. So the group was comprised of eight members: Brent, myself, Mary Lou, Nell, Cindy, Steve, Joan, and Karen. We had a lovely meeting this last Thursday to reflect upon what we had learned in the experience of studying the Bible and with one another. First, I want to share what we learned about from each other, and then some major themes that emerged during the study. It was an interesting group of people. We were certainly not homogenous. There were different personalities, different theologies, different backgrounds, and different politics. However, I found the diversity of characters and perspectives to be one of the more enriching things about the group. I enjoyed my time getting to know Steve, whose caring attitude was a great asset to the group. His open nature was refreshing, and his gentleness was much welcome, especially for some of us who are a bit pricklier. Cindy was also excellent to get to know. She was very faithful, and I really appreciated her characteristic spirit of humility and grace that really enlivened the group. Also, she's pretty sharp. I also got to appreciate getting to know Nell, who learned last Thursday that some of us, myself included, think that she could serve a prophetic role in this church. Insofar as prophets sort of call a spade and say what, and are able to name what's going on. And I think she has a sort of frankness and no-nonsense attitude that the group really needed to help keep us grounded. Then there was Mary Lou, whose intelligence and convictions provided us with a clear and consistent perspective. She was just a great to know in the group. She's very, very lovely. Then there was Joan. It was her first Bible study, and I think we all got to appreciate her curiosity and willingness to learn from the group. And then Karen also participated, and I admired her principles and unique perspective on things. The group provided me with some wonderful feedback as well, which I found encouraging. They appreciated my honesty and my unsettled spirit, which refuses to accept things easily. You know, this is the price you pay for having a therapist in a Bible study. We ask a lot of questions. Finally, the group benefited from Brent's unflagging faithfulness and encouraging attitude. I really wasn't sure what to expect from him. I didn't know him before I joined the group, but I think we all developed a tremendous respect for his enthusiastic and sincere approach to Scripture. I particularly appreciated the charity with which he brings the Scripture. As mainline Protestants who are probably a bit too taken with rationalism, we can be quick to dismiss scriptures that seem fantastical, antiquated, or simply offensive. While Brent didn't encourage an uncritical approach, he's continued to press at us think, what can we learn from this scripture? And I think we were all benefited from this approach. So what did we learn? First, we learned that the Hebrew and Greek Bible have to be read together, as they both testify to God's desire to liberate humanity from oppression, ignorance, and sin. The Testaments need to be read in conjunction with one another because the God who delivered the Israelites from Egypt is the same God who was made manifest in the ministry and person of Jesus of Nazareth. Second thing is that the scriptures are really messy and they demand communal engagement. They require an understanding of context and genre to properly situate the scriptures in history. Moreover, they invite us to participate in a conversation with our ancestors about the difficulties of encountering God and remaining faithful to the promises of God. I learned that it takes a community to read scripture because, honestly, I don't think we should trust one another just to read it on our own. It's complicated and can be convoluted, and so the more we're able to keep each other honest, I think the better chance we have of encountering the Spirit. And lastly, I hope this was the beginning of a conversation. Steve shared at the end of the group that he's now been keeping his Bible on his kitchen table so he can remain embedded in the Word, and I think we'd all have to participate in Disciples 2.0, and hopefully you'll join us next time around.
reading today tells the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is in the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a strong wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, in our languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" All were amazed and confused, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs in heaven above and on the earth below. Blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
This is a very special holiday. It's actually, in terms of the church, it's as important as Christmas or Easter. There are three important, really important holidays: Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. But for some reason, we don't always celebrate Pentecost as much as we do Christmas and Easter. And the reason is it's a little hard to understand, and it's such a strange story that What's going on in a story like this? What are some of the things? One of the things that was going on, okay, I have these up here now. I'm going to walk among you, and I'm going to irritate you. Okay? Sitting in a house kind of feeling kind of sad because your very, very, very best friend had died. And even though some people said that well, he didn't really die, but you were still kind of wondering. What would you think when all of a sudden this great wind came? What do you think? What would you think? That you would blow away. Yeah, that's a kind of scary thing. Yeah, big, big wind. What else? I mean, you'd say, I should go through. I mean, what if we just all of a sudden turned a great big fan on and it went, whoosh? You'd say, what's going on in this church anyway? There's an awful lot of wind in this church, right? But then something else very strange happened. All of a sudden, and this is real, it was even scarier than the wind was. What happened was that all of a sudden over everybody's head was a little flame, like a candle flame. And the way the Bible talks about it, it says it was like a tongue of fire. See how those look kind of like tongues? Well, they're kind of pointed like a tongue, I guess. So that was another thing that happened, and that was kind of scary too, right? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, if Jesus is going to come back to us, why doesn't he come back to us like a regular person and not scare us half to death with wind and fire and all that? But then the one that scared them the most. Now here's where those of you who were here last week start babbling away. And some of you even thought you could hear real words, but they weren't in your regular language. Now, we practiced the German, remember? How do you say I love God in German? How many of you know how to say I love God in German? Come on. Okay, say it.
Ich liebe Gott.
Say it.
Ich liebe Gott.
Okay, how many know how to say I love God in French? Okay, say it. Okay, how many know how to say it in Spanish? These were the only languages we came up with. Spanish. Yeah. Amo Dios. Amo Dios. I even knew that one from high school Spanish. But, okay, so now some of you might even know other languages. Let's real loud say I love God, but say it in a different language. Okay, let's go. Amo Dio. And what was the German one? Well, you kind of heard that, but at the same time, you were kind of hearing other things, too. Now, what out of this picture came the church, this thing that we have here, this strange animal. It's a funny holiday because on the one hand, it gave us the Holy Spirit, which is the one that teaches us to pray and all, you know. We pray and, you know, you're kind of quiet when you pray, right? On the other hand, and you usually think of a lot of prayer as being by yourself. But it also gave us the church, which is kind of solid, and it's got a building, and it's got committees, and it's got, you know, expectations. And so we live all the time within that kind of tension, don't we? Between spontaneous prayer and this solid thing we call the church. So what, now I'll ask you some questions that are the kind of questions you get when you're in Sunday school. What's your favorite part of this story? I wonder what your favorite part of the story is. Do you have a favorite part of the story? Yeah? Prayer? Oh, I'm sorry. What?
The fire.
Ah, the fire. Because a fire is... What's your favorite part? The wind. Well, of course. And that's why we have that wind and fire. Those are so, you know... Fire is in everything. It's in our bodies. It's why we're warm. It's in the sun. It's the basis of all our life. The wind is really, what is wind? Can you touch it? air, what is it? Air moving around. And that's kind of what it just is there, right? And yet it's when you have a wind on you, you know it's there, but it's there even when you don't, just like God is there even when you don't. What other parts do you kind of, is there anything else you liked? What I wonder, could you picture yourselves in this story? Could you picture yourselves in this story? What would you feel if you were sitting there just expecting a bunch of people to get together for a little worship service and then all of a sudden all this stuff happens? What would you think? What would you feel? Yes.
Surprised.
What? Say it aloud.
Surprised.
Surprised. We're surprised when things like that happen, yeah?
Terrified.
Terrified. Very interesting. Because the Holy Spirit can be scary sometimes, can't it? Yeah. Anybody else? What would you have thought or felt if you were there? What did the people who saw these people think? You who read the story, what did they think? Yeah? That was acting silly, right? What? Yeah, see, they thought they were drunk. Now, how many times do we have people who walk into our church and think we're all drunk and think we're crazy? There's a funny little story about a man was driving in a car down south, and he passed a little church, and he looked in the church, and everybody was moving and dancing and making all kinds of, and he thought they were absolutely crazy. What he didn't hear was what? It was Pentecost, or that they were maybe just singing. Who knows? Because if you don't know, or maybe playing, yeah. Yeah, wow. So that's how our church got started, and that's also how we approach prayer, too. So it's both of those things. Because when we pray, the Spirit is with us. Okay.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. I'm Steve Alsdorf, and I've had the honor of being on the CE committee and teaching the children for the past 3 years. I'm married to Lisa, and actually she was just pointing out that 5 years ago, basically to the day, we came here for our first Sunday here on CE Sunday. And we were quite taken with the church. And in brief, this has been a year of growing for Godly Play. And also, it's just wonderful to see all the growth here in so many different ways. We came with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and saw a very different cast of characters on the stage 5 years ago, many of whom are now young adults flourishing in the world. And it's just great to see, you know, what we have here now. So for those of you who don't know, Godly Play is the Montessori-based curriculum that we introduced 3 years ago. It strives to tell many of the traditional stories that are taught in Sunday school in a sort of non-judgmental, non-dogmatic fashion and allow children to hear the stories and derive their own meaning from them. And that meaning that they derive from it continues to evolve over time. So we have been this past year introducing new stories about, I would say, maybe half the time, and another half of the time reviewing previous stories, and the children bring something new to it each time. This year has been a year of sort of like plants, both growth and also maybe as good gardeners, some division. We divided the Godly Play group into two groups based on age, one which is sort of kindergarten through third grade, another fourth through sixth grade, and it's allowed us to really let the kids sort of do even more age-appropriate things with each of them. So we're continued to interpret Godly Play in a different way. With both groups, we've made an effort to try to link what's going on in the Godly Play classroom to what's going on here when possible. So hopefully that's stimulated some discussion that, you know, relates to what we're doing there, to what the adults do here. We've also continued to work on formalizing the order of service in the Godly Play classroom so that the children develop a sense of ritual and sacred space and time. That has led to the very important development of better food also. So we have the Godly Feast every week. And I'm pretty sure that cheesy popcorn ranks on the list of top things about Godly Play for a few of the students. The younger group has gone through mostly traditional stories, but also with the older kids, the fourth through sixth graders. This fall, we did something called Living in a Fragile World, which is a Godly Play-inspired curriculum dealing with creation and then sort of conservation, environmentalism, and stewardship. And the children found it to be really very powerful. Another thing we've been able to do with the older children with the Godly Play curriculum is let them lead portions of the lessons themselves. So they've been learning to tell the stories, and then as they are older, we've strayed from just the traditional wondering questions and had more of we actually sit around a table rather than on the floor, a discussion, and it's been really thrilling to see what they have to say and what they derive from their lessons. So that's really the Godly Play update for this year. When I asked a few of them what their favorite parts were, they named a few of the things I've mentioned, particularly reading and telling the stories, but the favorite response was all of it. My favorite has been all of it, too.
Thanks.
On the first Sunday of each month, on Communion Sunday, when we have a shorter time, we also have what we call an enrichment thing, where we kind of fill in around the edges of what Godly Play may not be doing. We did some how do you find things in the Bible. We prepare for holidays and other special events, and we talk about things like prayer that maybe, you know, even though there is prayer in Godly Play, this is a little more expansive. So these we call the enrichment aspects. The other thing is that all of the committee has been, and Brent also, have been very clear about the fact that all of Christian education for children should not be taking place just in the church. In fact, all the studies that have been done say that what kids learn at home or pick up from their parents, both in terms of Bible stories and ethics and faithful living, is much better, is remembered, is what they learn at home. So you need both. You need the structure of a church school. You need the home. You also need the home. And that's something we just want to keep emphasizing over and over. And the other thing that we've tried to do is incorporate the children into the life of the church as much as possible in terms of participating in the communion, participating in other aspects of worship. So those three things are things that they're more amorphous, but they're just as important as formal lessons are.
I'm Ann Hutchinson, and I'm head of the CE committee, and so I'm here to honor the teachers. And you've heard of almost all of the things that go on with the children. The one we haven't talked about is the tweens group, which started meeting about 6 weeks ago upstairs in the Seventh Heaven, which is the building in the back of the, over the narthex. And we have, Diane Perino has done most of that class, and I've done some of them. And we have three regulars who are here today, Seth and Trudy and Anna Grace, and also we have another one, Anouk, who comes when she can. And those kids are all in 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, and it's been great to get started with them. But my job today is to honor all of our teachers who have worked with the children. And I have a small gift to give them, but first I'm going to call them up here. And I know not everybody can be here today, but I'll start with the Godly Play teachers. So Steve Alsdorf and Marjorie Dix, who have done the most for planning and preparing all the curriculum and all the materials, because there's a great deal of materials. Then we have Ted Randolph and Joshua Hall and Rebecca Hall. Thanks, guys. And then doing our enrichment has been Nell Ezekiel, Lois Rose, and Mary Lou Rice, who's done some crafts with us. Wendy Nicolosi has also helped them. And of course, I think Brent is also very important in this, so I'm gonna make him come up here too. And then the last person who takes our youngest children is Jody Powell, who's not here right now. And she's a paid employee, she's not a member of our church. But I think she's really, really important in setting the stage for how our children are greeted when they come to this church, because she runs a really great nursery. And if you haven't ever been there, stop by some Sunday morning, because it's really fun. Okay, so we have small gifts, and we have a flower to show the life that we try to breathe into these 2,000-year-old stories in Sunday school and make them alive, and I think you've seen some of that today. We have a candle because it's first of its birthday. This is the birthday of the church, but also the light of the Holy Spirit and God that comes often with that flame, and a ribbon for celebration, because this is the joy and celebration of the time that we get to spend with the children, and I think you can see some of that here today. So I'm going to give one to each of you.
But if I can interrupt the applause for just a second, I think actually somebody should hand this to Anne, because Anne is amazing. she ran the committee. You know, I couldn't even begin to enumerate everything she does, but she ran the committee. She taught all three classes at various times. Basically, she's an incredible powerhouse, so thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
Can I ask Natalie and Seth and Bronwyn to come join Anne and I up here? Come on up and stand in front of this table, face out if you would. So I'm holding in my hands arguably the most important book the world has ever seen, arguably a book that has changed the world more than any other, a book that has brought about some beautiful and amazing things, and a book that has been used to justify some pretty bad things. What do you notice about this book? It's very old. Yeah. Anything else? Is it decorated much? It's pretty plain, because the point when this book was published in 1841, so this book is 170 years old, when this book was published, the idea was what was inside is more important than what's outside. Do you know what this book is?
The Bible.
Very good. This book is the Bible. Today we are going to give you a Bible. We're going to give you a Bible because we believe that you have the power and chance to shape the world in beautiful ways. But more importantly, because we believe that the Bible can shape you in beautiful and amazing ways. Do you remember earlier in the service when those people stood up who had read the Bible this past year? They spent a whole year reading the Bible and getting to know it better. Do you know what they said when they were done? They wanted to start all over again. This is one of the books that you read over and over and over again, and we hope that you will. So I'd like to ask Anne, as the director of our Christian education program, to present each of you with a Bible that's yours to take home and keep and cherish and hopefully read. Okay?
So this is for Bronwyn, Elizabeth, Wendy,
right. Thank you.
We now come to our time of prayer. We're going to do it a little differently today. Oh, Mary Lou. I'm sorry. Where's Mary? Oh, Mary Lou.
And I almost didn't get to wear my Pentecost glasses. I began to attend this church about the same time Brent started his ministry here. And within a month or so, he offered a rigorous and really spiritually enriching study of the book of Luke, which I attended. And as a part of that, I knew that in this church, I wanted to be a part of the Christian education program. In addition to the disciples class, which we had this past year, ably described to you by Lisa and Jeremy, we had a number of other wonderful opportunities. In October and November, we joined with the Housatonic Church to read the always challenging Anne Lamott's book, Traveling Mercies. Because of Anne's humor and down-to-earth approach, we had both relaxed and spirited discussions. In February, we offered a group reading of Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. not everyone who wanted to read the book was able to attend the classes or discussions, and many people took a copy of the book to read on their own. We ordered 20 copies of the book, and every one was distributed to friends and members of the congregation. Speaking for myself, this book had a really profound effect on my daily life, and I would encourage anyone who hasn't read this book to go ahead and do so. A highlight of the Christian Education Committee year was our Lenten study on forgiveness. We're grateful to the speakers for their excellent presentations, Linda Hoddy, Rick Floyd, David Andreg, Joanne Levitt, Ann Hutchinson, and Brent. In addition to studies organized by the CE committee, Max Stackhouse initiated a men's study group with the reading of Puritan Boston and Quaker Philadelphia, and it is ongoing with the added leadership of Rick Floyd. Our committee also participated in an Advent celebration and potluck, as well as the Mardi Gras celebration with Anne's beignets and red beans and rice. Thanks to everyone for a great year. There's more to come.
And now let us gather in prayer. Most of this prayer is going to be in silence, and what I will simply do is begin us, perhaps steer us in some way. You can take or not the direction I may nudge you, but in any case, let us on this Pentecost Sunday try to enter into a communion with God that is as spontaneous as we can do it in a congregational United Church of Christ church. We tend to be more dignified than some churches. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us. So let us now, we will begin with silence, and then I will do some bidding, and then we will follow with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come to us through the air, as a wind, as a light breeze that touches our cheeks. Or come to us as a mighty wind that might strike fear or awe into our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Warm us with your fire. Warm our hearts, warm our bodies. Give us the comfort that a candle or a fireplace can give us. But help us also to remember a roaring fire out of control that can sweep where it will, that can even destroy. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come as a fire. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come to us in sound, in words. Words of nonsense that break through our rigid ideas about how things should be, what our lives should be like, what constitutes true happiness. And come to us in words of understanding, where instead of our speaking, we listen and see what lies beyond the words of those who speak to us. And come to us in words of love, words of forgiveness, words that open our hearts to another rather than close our hearts. Come to us in the language of those who are very different from us. Come to us in words. And we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Spoke out of God's mouth came fire and smoke. Looked all around me, it looked so fine, till I asked my Lord if all was mine. Oh, every time I hear the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving. Jordan River is chilly and cold. It chills the body, but not the soul. There is but one train upon this track. It runs to heaven and then right back. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart. 'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free, 'tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when you find yourself in a place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed to turn, turn will be our delight till our turning, turning comes round right.
So at the end of this service of gifts and celebration of them, we want you all to come out and join us in the Jonathan Edwards room where we're going to have a party. It's the church's birthday, and we have a very beautiful birthday cake covered with flames made by Jane McCormick. So please join us right after the end of the service. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are many parts which together make one body and one spirit. The Spirit gives us different gifts to serve the Lord. May God bless us as we go out to share our gifts in the world.